Welcome to virtual worship. My name is Chris Hansen, and it is my privilege to share with you our welcome statement. We, the people of the Church of Nativity, United Church of Christ, believe that all people are of sacred worth. Therefore, we warmly welcome people of every age, language, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender identity, physical and mental ability, economic means, marital status, and family structure, into the full fellowship, membership, leadership, ministry, worship, online or in person, and sacramental life of our congregation. We commit ourselves to continuing conversation and growth as we seek to be the loving and inclusive faith community that we believe God is calling us to be. As we gather in worship today, we welcome seekers, doubters, and believers. We also understand that we come together from different experiences. Some of us have had a wonderful week, others not so great. Some are happy, others sad, some hopeful, others discouraged. Nevertheless, as we say in the United Church of Christ, no matter who you are, or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Pastor Ruth will now share some announcements.
For the church, the season of Easter continues for 50 days. And so I say to you, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I'm Ruth Snyder, pastor of Nativity. Thanks for joining us for this Easter worship. Today, our theme is not seeing, yet believing. Providing music for us today is our music director, Mike Copps, his wife, Sue, and their son, Stephen. Sue will also be playing the French horn. That's a lot of musical talent in one family, but we're delighted that they're here and sharing their gifts and talents with us today.
My gratitude tell. story for today, I want to tell you who this week's connection champs are. Let me find out what I did with the paper. Oh, here it is. Okay. By a very small margin, this week's connection champs are first and second grade. Woo! Congratulations, first and second grade. You did a great job participating in Miss Nicole's Easter egg hunt and in watching church with your families. So well done, and we'll see who wins next week. So today, you may notice that I am wearing a special scarf, and it has peace signs on it. And I'm going to tell you why peace signs are on my scarf as I tell you this story. So, you know, last Sunday was Easter, and Jesus' friends were a little bit afraid and very sad still after what happened. And even though the Marys came and told them that they saw Jesus and that he was alive, not all of them really believed that completely because they hadn't seen it themselves. So we hear that they're all together that night and they have their door locked because they're still afraid. And while they're there, Jesus comes in and he says something to them. He says, "Peace be with you." Now, in Jesus' time, in his culture, "peace be with you" was something that somebody would have said when they came in the house, just like we would say, "Hi," or "How are you doing?" or "Good to see you." And so that would have been normal for them. But what wasn't normal was that they were seeing Jesus, but they still weren't really sure. So he said to them, "Look at my hands and look at my side and know that it's me." And they did. And then Jesus says, "Peace be with you," to them again, a second time. Now Pastor Ruth's going to tell the rest of the story of when Jesus' friend Thomas comes into the picture. And when he does, Jesus says, "Peace be with you," a third time. Now, some of you may know that 3 is a really important number in the Bible. And anytime somebody says something 3 times, that's usually something that we should pay attention to. Kind of like if your parents tell you, "Clean your room," and you don't do it, and then the next time they say, "Clean your room," and then the third time they say, "Clean your room," you know you're in trouble. It's kind of like that in the Bible sometimes. Those are the things we want to pay attention to. And I was thinking about the shape of the peace sign and how it's a circle and it has 3 little parts to it. And so I kind of thought about that, like what we call the Trinity in the Bible. So we have God, the Creator, we have Jesus, the Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit, the Helper. So in this story, we have Jesus. He's come to his friends to tell them not to be afraid, that he's with them, and that God is with them because God sent him. And then he tells them, "I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit who's going to help you." And it's the same for us. We have God, our Creator, we have Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit to help us. And we need to try to remember that whenever we feel scared, whenever we feel like maybe things are a little too much for us, that Jesus is always with us, and that God is always watching over us, and that we always have the Holy Spirit to help us. And Jesus' friends learned that day, and they remembered it, and they went out and they taught other people about it. So maybe you'll do that one day too. In the meantime, remember, God is always with us when we're scared. Do you want to pray with me? Dear God, we thank you that you are with us that you sent Jesus to teach us how to be kind to each other, how to be good friends, and that you will always be with us when we're scared. We love you, and we thank you for all the people that you send to help and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Our Bible encounter for today is from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. It is the story of the risen Christ's visit with his disciples, and a week later, his conversation with Thomas. Our reading is from the New Revised Standard Version of the Holy Bible. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. So ends our hearing of these ancient words. May God's Spirit open our hearts and minds to understand the meaning they may have for us today.
I love that story that Chris just read about Thomas. In fact, I think it's probably one of the reasons that I've grown to love Jesus. When I was reflecting on this story this week, I was thinking of the press conferences that Governor Cuomo holds, I think, every day. He always starts with the facts. He makes it very clear that he's starting with the facts. There's a outline that goes up, there are charts, and he very specifically says again and again, this is a fact, these are the facts. When he's done with all the facts, then he'll sit back and say, now this is opinion. This is what I think about these facts. And I've kind of admired him for that. He's matter of fact, he's straightforward, he's precise, and he's getting us the facts. I think that's probably part of his personality. Well, I think as I was thinking about that, as I was thinking about this story of Thomas. Now, this story of Thomas occurs in the Gospel of John after the story of the morning, that first Easter morning, where Mary went to the tomb and it was empty, and there she met Jesus in the garden. And a little bit later on, John and Peter went running to the tomb and found that it was empty. And so they're trying to make sense of this and what's going on. And they went back and they told the disciples. But there was some time that happened. So this story of with Thomas happens that night on that first Easter evening. Now they're huddled together in that room and they're behind closed doors because they're fearful of the fate that they could encounter that could be the same as the one Jesus had of dying, that the Romans would come out after them too. And so they're frightened. But there's also this sense of, well, some of the tomb is empty, how do we make sense of that? And so they're trying to figure out all of this for themselves. And into that situation, Jesus comes and brings them peace, as Carissa pointed out in her children's time a little earlier. And so the disciples are very excited that now all of them have met the risen Christ. All except Thomas. Now, Thomas wasn't with them that evening, and we're not sure why. The Bible doesn't tell us why. Maybe he was an introvert and needed to get some time away. Maybe he was looking, maybe he went to the tomb and was looking to see if he could meet the risen Jesus. Maybe he was just exhausted and went home to get some sleep. For whatever reason, he wasn't there. And when he rejoined the disciples, they said, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas was like, "Wait a minute. Unless I see the marks in his hand, put my fingers in those marks, put my hand in his side, I'm not believing." And from that point on, Thomas became known as the doubter. Doubting Thomas. Now, I think it's a little unfair that he's been called the doubter. People even make jokes about him. I mean, they'll say to people, "Oh, don't be such a doubting Thomas." And that origin of that saying goes back to this story. He's stuck in this sense of doubt, but I don't know. I kind of think we should be a little gentle with Thomas, at least, and maybe I feel that way because I too have been and are a doubter about matters of faith at times, and so are many other Christians. Or maybe he's just a person that likes facts. Maybe like Governor Cuomo, he wants those laid out really clearly, and it's just his personality type. So I think we need to be gentle with him. And as the story unfolds, a different light comes on to Jesus because a week later, these disciples are still huddled together in that room, and Thomas is with them, and Jesus comes and says, "Thomas, go ahead, put your fingers in my hands. Put your hand in my side. Don't be doubting, believe." And what the Bible says, it doesn't tell us that Thomas actually did any of that. What it says is that Thomas responded to Jesus with the words, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Now, what's interesting about this is that this is the most expansive and personal expression of belief in the entire gospel, according to John. And it comes out of the mouth of Thomas. And it appears that Thomas begins to understand that faith is about relationship, not about believing impossible things. Now, what I love about Jesus is how he deals with Thomas. First of all, he doesn't give up on him at all. He makes a point to come back a week later when Thomas is there. It doesn't appear that Jesus is angry at Thomas or judgmental of Thomas. In fact, he accommodates Thomas. You need to see, you need to feel, go ahead, that's okay. And what that says to me, and the reason that helps me to love Jesus, is because it says to me and doubters everywhere, hey, Jesus doesn't give up on you. In fact, Jesus will even work with you with the doubts to help you draw you closer so that you know and have an opportunity to be in relationship with Jesus. Doesn't it just bring a few tears to your eyes to see how gently and compassionately and loving Jesus dealt with Thomas? He cared about him. He drew him together to himself, which is what Jesus had been doing all along in his ministry, in his death, and now in this new life of resurrection. And so I think we ought to be calling Thomas the believing Thomas or the faithful Thomas and let go of that old doubting Thomas idea altogether. That just isn't right. That just isn't fair. That just isn't the truth. Thomas is a believer. Now, the last thing that Jesus says is, have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen. And these words are for you and for me. Blessed are you who believe but have not seen. You see, it appears from the Bible and such and our own experience that there was something right after that, after Jesus' death and resurrection, it appears that he came and met his disciples and the women and others in a new way, not with the same body and such, but kind of a resurrected body. But that lasted for a very short time. And for centuries after, people have come to meet Jesus in their hearts through being in the community, the church, by coming together for the sacrament of Holy Communion, or Eucharist as some call it, for the opportunity to listen to music and hear God speaking through that. People meet Jesus in those kinds of ways, and that's been my experience. Now, I have to say that there are some, St. Paul being one of them, and even people in our day and age who would maintain that they have had a vision of Jesus, or that they've heard Jesus' voice. My pastor, when I was in college, shared a story of how he had met the risen Jesus one night in his living room. Jesus came to him, and it was a fundamentally changing event in his life that helped him decide, or put the final decision to go to seminary in his heart. I believe him. I believe others who speak of that. But I also know it's not the usual way Jesus comes to us. The other ways I mentioned are more typical. But what Jesus is saying to all of us is, I don't give up if you have doubts. I love you. I'm with you always. I'm on this journey, and hey, if you have some doubts, it's okay. Let's talk about it. This story of believing Thomas and loving Jesus is one of my favorites. I hope it becomes one for you too. Amen. Let us be together in a time of prayer. Gracious Jesus, we give you thanks that you are present with us and that you walk this journey of life and faith with each of us and all of us together and the world. We thank you that when we have doubts, confusion, struggles, that doesn't mean you're absent. In fact, when we're experiencing those, it's likely that you're more present than ever. Help us to open our eyes, our ears, most especially our hearts, to meet you in those moments. Jesus, we're glad that you live and move among us. We thank you for the people through whom you're working, who are being your hands and your feet, your heart, in a world that's struggling with a pandemic. We thank you especially for the first responders, the medical staff, the grocery clerks, the bus drivers, the garbage collectors, people that so often we have paid very little and not been particularly appreciative of, but the ones who are literally carrying us through this crisis. When this is over or far moved forward, help us to remember and give thanks and be appreciative of all these people. God, we pray for those who are sick and ask you to surround them with love, whether it be because of COVID virus that they're sick or any other reasons, surround them with your healing touch. Those who are grieving, bring about your peace which passes all understanding. Those who are unemployed, help them to be able to file for the unemployment benefits, and may it be soon that they come back and are employed. Work with our government leaders to affect the return of business and nonprofits, even churches, in a way that will not result in a greater problem or a return of serious problems with this COVID-19. Help us to listen to scientists and medical people that will be guiding the return. God, for all these things and other things that you know that we need, we pray. And now we take a moment to lift before you our personal needs of and our personal expressions of thanksgiving as we spend a moment in silence. And now, Jesus, we pray together the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We are grateful so many of you have mailed checks or used the donate button on our website to send in your offerings and donations. These enable us us to have virtual worship, Sunday school and youth meetings, and offer our building as a blood donation site for the Red Cross, to name just a few of the ways we are continuing our welcoming, nurturing, and empowering mission in our community and world. Thank you for your generosity.
Peace, which passes all understanding. Amen.